Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get shungite to the masses. You are entering the shungite zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio.
Welcome to Shungite Reality. We are recording on September 16th, 2025. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condit and Mark Joseph. And we also have with us a guest in quotes because he's also a host on a couple of other shows, Cosmic Soup and Awaken Aware. His name is Callius, and he has been involved in energy work for a very long time. We're going to let Mark take over, just kind of like introducing him, and we're going to start with Mark. Let's put it that way. So, Derek, would you like to say hi?
Well, yeah. Hi, everybody. Happy to be here. Glad we have Callis here, too. It should be interesting.
And we did tell people you weren't going to be here, but however, you realize, no, it's not until next week that you're starting the show.
Exactly.
Starting the school. And because it was brought up, let's just lead with it. You are going to continue with the pre-scaler sessions.
Yep. I don't think we'll miss a beat there. So the sign-up should still be there every Friday, and they'll launch on Friday as usual, the remote ones. And there's more information on the website about those.
And also, how about, are people able to get in with a session with you during this month?
No, I'm pretty much blocked out, as anybody who's seen my calendar, even for the new home inspections until the end of October, because I'm going through, for those that don't know, the next month or so, I have to attend a college nearby and do the actual state certifications and go through and do multiple inspections with instructors on sites, and then finalize that. So then basically the add-on will be the home structural inspector. So when you buy or sell a house, I'll be that guy as well, on top of the EMF and the energy stuff I do.
That sounds cool. Okay, so Mark, you want to say hi and introduce Callius to our audience?
Yeah, just to bridge over what you guys are talking about, there's a free weekly scalar healing. Every week is different. For example, this week's is release anxiety and stress. Runs on Friday. And then the other weeks would be like immune system, nutrients. It's at mysticalwares.setmore.com. Introducing Callius. So I've known him for some decades on energy work and the people who've done the movie Inception, doing dream work, stuff like that in different forums, consciousness technologies. And he always had a good way of speaking in presentation. He's also military in the army. I could have him do his bio here in a little bit, in his experience in with energy work and let's say the occult, things that are hidden, quote unquote. And recently, not recently, but been introduced to Shungite, has Derek's book, and he has a good testimonial, which he could share now or later, as far as how using the Shungite stickers, specifically the silver, Shungite silver ones, I forget if it was the scalar or the smart sticker, against the 5G tower that was right next to his. Well, I'll have him tell the story, but yeah, and we tried him out on, what do you call it, Cosmic Soup, and it fit right in as far as analysis, skepticism, and having a third side view to the madness that's just increasing as of late, if people want to get on that roller coaster view stress. But yeah, thanks, Callius, for coming on the Shungite Show. We do two other shows with him, Cosmic Soup and The Awake versus Aware, twice a month. So welcome.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, glad to be here. Real excited.
Yeah, can you give us a rundown as far as I don't know what made you decide to keep doing the shows, and maybe a short bio of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I when it comes to, shungite and implementing that with some of the energy work that I've done over the decades, I wasn't real familiar with it up until recently. I know Mark, you had sent me some stuff on it a few years ago, and I was kind of like, oh, that's an interesting, aspect to this. And I briefly looked into it, didn't really get too far into it, but it wasn't until I started being on Cosmic Soup that I began to look into this. I know we talked to people that we've known for quite a few years that are involved with this type of stuff, and I just got real fascinated with it. And I read, I know Mark, you sent me Derek's book, Shungite Unveiled, and just fascinated by it. I was like, wow, this is a very, very key component to honing this type of skill. And I've always been very basic with it. I've tried not to complicate it with too much esotericism. I've always tried to kind of follow the Greek Hellenistic methods of stillness and controlling the mind, and where the thoughts go, so does energy. So I've always tried to keep those principles very basic in how I go about this type of stuff. But this seems to be something that is applicable in so many ways with other stuff that I'm involved in that yeah, I can't ignore it anymore. So, but yeah, no, I've been involved with the occult aspects of energy work now for, I don't know, about going on a little over 20 years, 25 years, and always found it beneficial. And what shocked me was just how simple it can really be once you kind of hone in on that skill and develop it. And so I started out basically, studying again the more Greek Hellenistic sides of it, studying the cult of Pythagoras, how frequency resonance was heavily involved with some of the caves that they chose. Again, simple aspects like stillness, and then, it just comes down to practicing it and again sharpening the skill. And so then I began to discover that there were overlaps with dream work and applying those principles there and seeing success. And so I've been a practitioner of that now for, yeah, like I said, like 20, 25 years. But I still consider myself very much a student. I don't profess any sort of expertise. I'm very much here to learn. So
Yeah, because various mental technologies and some of those, like you were talking about, dream work, breath work, meditation, and this was also you used this stuff during your military days when you were out overseas, and you even got to see some how do you call it, sacred sites, or I don't want to say mystery spots, but you know what I'm getting at, those kind of things out there. Is that worth sharing? Because I know even Derek here, who's a veteran, has also been to those sacred sites he's mentioned in previous shows. But and when you were there, you got to experience the energy of that place, of these places. Did you want
yeah,
to get into that? Cool.
it was during my second tour. I was an infantryman in the 101st Airborne. So during my second tour, we were in Southwest Baghdad, and we weren't far from where the Tower of Babel supposedly stood. And in that area, there's a route leading towards I can't remember exactly where, to be honest. It was called Route Temple. And out in the distance, when you're driving down Route Temple, you can see just this sea of vitrified glass, just thousands of little, hundreds of thousands of, vitrified glass sparkling against the sun. And it's very surreal. And the other aspect of it that I found fascinating was there was something in the air over there. There was some kind of like really, really distinguishable warmth in the air, almost like a comforting thin blanket, I suppose I could say. Very, very distinct. And of course, when we came back, get back into the West, it's gone. Like just that distinctive warmth is no longer there. And so that was one of the things I found fascinating. And a lot of the locals that we met in these areas, in Southwest Baghdad. There were quite a few people that claimed to be 130 years old. Family stories of recent generations where they claimed that people were living to be like 150, 130. It was a fairly common theme. Like we kept running into that quite a bit in a lot of these small villages and towns. So I thought that was fascinating. And I got to see, just in passing, I got to see the Great Ziggurat of Ur during the invasion, and that was pretty surreal to see that. I took the After the invasion in 03, I took the what was called the supercargo back, which was I was a part of the convoy team that led all of our units' vehicles out of the country from Mosul all the way down back to Kuwait. And then I boarded a merchant marine ship with those vehicles and was the army representative, of our unit on the boat. So we got to go through the Suez, and in that general area there was, I forgot exactly what part geographically we were in, but you could see pyramids right off the bow of the ship. I mean, there were some of them were so close you could throw a rock and hit it. And or it seemed that way. They were so, prominent, huge. But that was surreal. That was very dreamlike. Even in my own memory these days, these images are almost, they feel like they came out of a dream. So
Now,
those are some of the
let me
cool.
just interrupt you. You're saying that you were seeing pyramids in the canal?
Correct. Yes, as we were going, as we were
So
sailing down.
they were submerged.
No. They were, you could see them
Oh,
from the shore. Yeah, I could
oh,
literally look out of the boat and see the pyramids. I mean, they
oh.
were
Okay,
like right there.
got it,
Yeah.
yeah, got it, got it, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt, but I got confused.
My apologies. All good.
No, not a problem.
But yeah, no, it all seems to, aesthetically for me, it just all clicked. And when it came to energy work and having success with it, some of these more surreal aspects of my experience kind of go into play. So I don't know, maybe we discuss that maybe later on in the show, but yeah, that's just a brief, I guess you could suppose a brief bio, if that works.
Yeah, a couple questions on that. I Bards FM is a podcast. Me and Nancy have commented and used on Cosmic Soup, and he's been getting more into health, former DOD. And in that health episode, he mentioned people getting over, like you're talking about, these numbers over 100. And the Persians, there were some Persians were 160. 165, and the common theme was that they don't have access to Western modern hospitals, to these kinds of what do you call it, technologies, and they were always third world. And I think it's amazing that you're able to confirm that based on your own personal experiences. Now, did you see these people who claim to be these numbers and like they look like they were like way up there?
Yeah, there was one. We were patrolling this small village, and we approached a house, and the family came out and said hi, and they had this a very, very elderly looking man. I mean, he looked to be, I don't know, close to death, but he was still walking. He appeared to be just very, very frail. And I forgot how they got on the subject, but some of our guys started laughing a little bit, and they're like, yeah, there's no way. And apparently one of the younger adults in that family had mentioned that their grandfather was like 130 years old or something like that. And so they were insistent, like they were like, come look at this, like they were kind of putting him on display, so to speak. And so I was like, that's interesting. So I started looking at the guy and trying to figure out, oh, could this be true? And it seemed like it might be. I wasn't convinced at the time, but looking back on it, I was like, oh, it could be possible. Of course, everyone was asking for, let's see some documentation. And so I forgot what they brought out. They did bring out some form of paperwork. I forgot what it was. I was kind of on the perimeter, I guess you could say, pulling security. So I wasn't part of the active conversation, unfortunately. But yeah, and then it happened again. It happened again, maybe a month or so later, in a different small town. And so yeah, I was like, that's interesting. You know, two times in the span of 90 days, and other veterans have told me similar stories. And so I was like, huh, that's interesting. You know, it could all be BS, but I thought it was an interesting theme to keep running into.
No,
Let me
this
ask you something. Were they what the hell you call them? I just had it in my head. Did they live in those villages? I mean, it's like they're not nomadic. They're actually maybe coming from nomadic ancestry, but they were settled down in the village.
Quite possibly, maybe for a generation. I know a lot of folks, especially in northern Iraq, are quite tribal and nomadic. But in this area, it was mostly rural, mostly farmland. It had the appearance of like these folks had been there for at least a generation.
Okay, just checking in for some reason. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so with that, did they or did you guys talk about, how was he able to live this long, or what is it about those types of people that are able to go past? I mean, what is their life expectancy here in the West? And it's gone down. It's like in the 70s, right? Especially post-COVID, and then even before then, it wasn't that much more, like in the 80s. And I mean,
Yeah,
I know some of the answers.
it's been trending down for sure. But no, to answer your question, no, that I, you know, again, I wasn't a part of these conversations. I either overheard it or, you know, learned about them secondhand. And so, but that would have been a very interesting question for sure.
Like one of the things, a guy who I discovered around the same time as Shungite is Dr. Jack Cruz, which is about the whole quantum biophysics, quantum biology. I mean, it's trending more now of like, don't wear sunglasses, try to go to bed at sunset and get up at sunrise, avoiding artificial light at night. And if you have, wear blue blockers. So if you're in these, small towns and nomadic, they're as close to nature. I mean, it's on the equator. They're in their, based on their skin type and genetic type, where they're living is for generations. And it would make sense as far as their access to the sun, which is, I mean, again, life, light, life force, and the kind of foods is built for their body type. It just all fits together in terms of aligning with nature. And then in, of course, the occult and different consciousness technologies. It's about the hidden laws of nature, which is, we talk about in all the shows in Cosmic Reality. What am I getting at here? Right. So it just stands to make sense that as you're as close to nature as you can be for your body type and genetics, you're gonna live past what Western medicine claims to be the average lifespan. And you got to experience that there with, the heat, the sun, the food, the grounding, all the things that, is now trending up with this mitochondrial type of medicine. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another contributing factor is, you know, in the more urban areas there, it's the quality of life is absolutely terrible in most places. I mean, there is no, you know, there is no safe drinking water. There's no garbage collection. There's no basic sanitation. I mean, sewage flows out onto the sidewalk. And you know, people just get out of their house and they squeegee it on down a little ways, and then somebody else comes out their house and squeegees it on down a little ways. So the environment is, you would think, just on the outside would be, you know, more conducive to sickness. And unfortunately, you know, in these urban areas, I didn't really pay much attention to that. It didn't catch my interest. But in contrast, yeah, I could see how the more rural folks, would have probably a better chance at a longer life, at a higher life expectancy. It's you know, a lot of those folks ate very simply, mostly red meat. You know, they weren't around most of sort of contaminants that those in the urban centers were subjected to. So yeah, I would totally expect them to live quite a bit longer.
Any in okay, great. Any instances of anomalies, paranormal stuff, times where you had to apply different consciousness technologies because you were in a hot spot in for where you were at overseas?
I'll say that again.
Let me see. Was there any time where you had to apply different life force techniques or consciousness technologies when you were going through tough times overseas? Or was there any paranormal experiences, anomalies that you saw? I mean, aside from you were talking, or maybe you could get more into the energies that were in the sacred sites, or if you guys even were able to get on top of them or really close by or even inside.
Unfortunately, no. All I can really point to in that regard is again that sort of distinctive warmth that carried in the air, even in the breeze. It was very that's the best way I could describe it. It was a very distinctive addition to the atmosphere there, and again, it was completely different than it is here, but it's noticeable. And as far as using consciousness technologies, as far as my own survival went, the only thing I could really point to that I did often was disassociate and start focusing on the future and how I wanted that to look like. And many times, getting into a vehicle, going on patrol, there's a 6 in 10 chance something's gonna blow up along your route. And so after a while, especially in some of these roads where the likelihood of that's pretty high, it's you just kind of shut off. Like I would just kind of disconnect from where I was, because being in the gunner's turret, you're sitting on a sling. There's no real, I mean, there's not a whole lot to be looking out for at that point. You're just gunning it down this road. So I would just kind of sit there and start focusing on the future, start imagining, starting to place myself in a surrounding that wasn't where I was. And so that became a habit. And I guess I could say maybe that did work a couple of times, because I did find myself in situations that it was sheer luck that it wasn't me that got killed. So maybe it worked, maybe it didn't. But yeah, that was kind of the habit that I began to form, was just completely trying to immerse myself in a sort of dreamscape.
Yeah, definitely. Hope, because I know you and Nancy were wanting to do a military type show. I mean, Veterans Day is still quite a ways away, November 11th, but that's something I think people can look forward to in this meeting of the minds future episode. Yeah, I don't know if you want to comment on that or, but it's something to look forward to for sure.
Yeah, no, I definitely am. Can't wait.
Yeah, we could get into the Shungite stuff. If you've noticed any differences with putting it around your home or even, the few places, and then you could tell the testimonial about the usage of it at your work.
Yeah, no, I you sent me quite a few little goodies a short time back, and I kind of sat on it for a short while. I didn't really, didn't jump into it until I started reading Derek's book. And so I put one, unfortunately, about 2 years ago, we had to put in smart meters in my apartment. It was non-negotiable. And at the time, I didn't really have anywhere else to go, so I just kind of just dealt with it. And to be honest, I didn't really notice a whole lot of difference once it was installed. My dream work was still going along as it normally does. I didn't really discover any, physical disruptions that I could point to, with the smart meter. So I just kind of ignored it. I didn't really bother with it a whole lot. And so I put one over the smart meter, and immediately began to notice. I felt slightly colder physically. I wasn't as warm. Where I normally would feel, a little bit stuffy if the AC was off, in a July day, being on the second floor of an apartment, I began to feel slightly cooler. I mean, that it was. It took me a minute to notice it. It wasn't a drastic difference, but I was like, "That's very strange." And so I put them on. I put one on my router, which I try to turn off at night anyway, or when I'm not using it. I put one on my personal cell phone, and began to notice. My thinking was slightly clearer, and again, these aren't drastic changes. It was one that I noticed slightly. I was like, "Oh wow." I don't really have a whole lot of, the typical sort of brain fog, I suppose I could say. When I'm transitioning between thoughts or modes, there's no fog in between. Or if there was, it was quite a bit reduced. So I was like, that's interesting. I'm thinking a little sharper. And at work, I was working in a state building, and literally 50 feet outside the building is a giant 5G tower. And I've noticed during some periods that, especially after lunch, my body would feel like I was just being cooked. My blood pressure would start to rise. I would start to sweat, even though I'm standing in a very highly air conditioned building. And I was getting stressed out. I was starting to feel stress, and I was like, "There's nothing going on that would stress me out." And so I thought that was very odd. So I began documenting these things, and my work phone, of course, it's a 5G, connected phone, and it's always on. I can't turn it off. I just put a Shungite sticker on it, and never once felt that way again. Where I was starting to feel this way maybe two or three times a week, that never happened again. And the thing that I can point to that I can attribute to the success of the sticker was I would ask my coworkers constantly. Like, it was kind of, I guess, kind of annoying for them. I'd be like, "Are you feeling hot right now?" And I would document whether or not they said yes or no. And everyone else is feeling the same way I felt just previously, without the sticker. But now that I had the sticker, I wasn't feeling that way. And I couldn't really speak towards, the sort of residual, bystander effect of it, because we worked independently, so I wasn't surrounded by these people. So while they're out in another part of the building, being microwaved, I wasn't. And so I began to go, okay, I think there's something to this.
Did you ever suggest to the others that they put the sticker on their phones?
No, I did not, simply because I try to keep, this type of stuff in my work life completely separate. So I didn't really point it out to them. I didn't suggest it. I don't even think they would have been the type of folks that would have even bothered with it at all. They probably would have just thought I was crazy.
Well, sometimes you can go at it as, I heard this crazy stuff. A friend of mine gave me these stickers. I put it on the phone. I'm feeling better. Could you do me a favor and just put this one on your phone and see what you feel? Give them a mission of helping you understand what these might be. Not that you're committed to any kind of woo-woo. It's your friend that's the woo-woo person.
Oh,
Because
definitely.
then you can judge. Because you know what you're doing and you're looking at these people and stuff, you can, ask them the questions. Well, are you feeling, better, or, just anything, to report? And I remember one time somebody said, "Oh, yeah, no, I'm not, into the Shungite and blah, blah, blah." And, "Well, you want to return it? I'll give you your money back." "Oh, hell no, my dog loves the water." You get stuff like that. The dog knew that there was something special about it. It was a very strange exchange. But what I'm saying is in the world of Shungite, the only way we're going to ever get people to get right is to give them what we know will help them get right. And even if we have to kind of like change our story in order to get them to participate, which is, most people will say, "Well, yeah, okay, sure, go ahead." And then maybe they'll be one of those people that goes, you know something? I don't know what those things are, but I'm feeling better. So, give it a try.
Absolutely. And I know for, I mean, in my mind, I began to put the dots together, even before COVID, regarding some of these, cell towers, microwave radiation, and how it was impacting certain areas of the town. And I used to be a transit bus driver. And so a lot of the times I would have to be on the road. I'd have to pick up my bus on the road. I'd be at a bus stop, like everybody else. And I would relieve that driver and start my day, on the road. And there were quite a few notorious intersections here where literally, like right on the corner, is this massive cell tower. And, these are high risk corridors. There's a lot of accidents, a lot of crime. And I remember the dots started to connect. It was like a hot June day, and I was just stressed out. Like I was standing there, it was quiet. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot going on around me. There wasn't any reason to really feel all that stressed out, but I began to get stressed, and I began to notice this over time. And so I had this hypothesis where, well, I think there's something going on with this tower. It's kind of screwing with how people are behaving. And so I just did, very simple surveys, and found out pretty much everybody, every single, it was at least 18 out of 20 people that I would talk to on the street would say at that current moment, right there where we're standing, they are stressed the hell out. And I would say probably a good half of them didn't understand why. So I was like, huh. And then this conversation comes out with 5G and COVID and all that. And I was like, there's got to be something to this. So I see, yeah, I began, oh wow, there is a connection here. And again, it made me even more thrilled to discover Shungite, because this appears, th this seems to me to be a good way to sort of mitigate this stuff and combat it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we always talk about hierarchy and stratification, especially when it comes to intelligence and awareness in the shows we do. Oh man, I blanked out. No, but I guess the question would be, you said half of them would be aware that it's probably the tower, and those probably were the more interesting conversations as far as conspiracy theories, or maybe their take related to COVID. Was there anything that came out of that? Because it's a good gauge of not just public awareness, but the direction that people are moving as we move towards this new Earth and things breaking apart now. And COVID was the start of that whole, I mean, one of the big, what do you call it, tiers and columns that got this ball rolling, right?
Definitely. And I could ask them, do you think it could be this tower? And I would say at least, maybe 5 or 6 out of 20 would go, it's possible. But anytime I would ask that question, it was always met with, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah. And there was a definite disconnect there. I don't think they could put two and two together. They just weren't aware of the possibility, or even how any of that stuff worked. Like anything else, they were told, oh, this is, the experts know what they're doing. This is all highly regulated. If it was hurting you, they definitely wouldn't do it. And so a huge, very noticeable disconnect. And I think since COVID, more and more people are aware of the possibility. It's been a giant shift in that regard, I think. But at the time, no, they did not really seem to suspect that at all, or even wanted to. It seemed very outlandish.
Let me not change the subject, but bring Derek in here for a minute. Derek, how do you think that 5G is interacting? I mean, I can give a scientific way for it, but I'd like you to talk about what you, because you've been around the 5G, you know the energies and things, how it's really affecting people at a biological level, let's say.
Well, I'll explain it one way, how I explain it to some of my clients when, when I'm trying to get to where we can wrap our heads around it. We, all of us as individuals, exist on multiple densities at one time. So just think multiple channels. People sometimes say dimensions, but really I want to get away from that, it's densities. So different yous, energy you, physical you, emotional you, there's other yous. So 5G is one of the first things I've seen that is able to affect us on all those different aspects of ourselves. So emotionally, physiologically, energetically, and I know energetically is a vague term, I keep saying that, but it is, because there's so many levels to that, as you guys are all aware. So that's kind of one way I describe it to, like I say, clients, because it does affect us. And it, so when we're, I like that I was describing the different sensations and or not when stickers are put on different devices or this, that, and the other. So that lets me kind of bring in the chat that not everybody perceives everything the same way. It's just like eating a meal. Sometimes people are overwhelmed by the temperature of the meal and they have no idea it tastes like the best thing they've ever eaten because they're just focused on that. Some things, nothing's hot enough, and that's me. So I want everything just stupid hot, and that's so, but then I can focus on something else. So I'll just say we all perceive these different aspects of reality, energies, differently. Because then I had some people say that, well, it just doesn't affect me because I don't feel it and made no difference whatsoever. I'm like, yes, it did, because it's actually scientifically proven that these energies or EMFs, radiation, all this invisible stuff affects a physiological body. I don't care if you're a caterpillar or a human. It affects you one way or another. That's a thing, because it affects you down on a just sub levels, many levels. So you're just not picking up on it. So that doesn't mean you don't need shungite around or to turn down or turn off the electronics or something like that. Or like jump back to the food analogy, to blow on your food. Some of us don't need to because it's not hot. But again, that doesn't mean it's not there. So I just really give them a few ways of wrapping their head around it, because some walk in the shungite room, most people feel it immediately. But the ones who are already walking in kind of mumbling under the breath saying, well, you know, whatever, this old magic voodoo room and blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, kind of, they'll walk in and not feel anything. That's like taking a bite of that food and just swallowing it. Nope, I hated that, because they preloaded themselves. So back to kind of your comment, Nancy, it has the 5G affect us. It affects us on all those levels. So even if that person doesn't feel it, it's affecting them maybe more on the, what we would call emotional level, or, you know, orgone level. So then their physical body will drain. But anyway, that was a long explanation, because it's a lot to try and understand. And that's just one way of wording it.
It is. And I would like you to, because people out there may have not heard when we covered this the first time, but that scientific 100 people were brought into a room with cell phones, and it was completely buried. Nothing else was coming into the room, and they were taking all the biometrics on them. And as soon as the phones went on, everybody's biometrics changed. Can you give the details of that, if you remember?
No, not on that one. I'm wondering if I was involved with you on the podcast on that one, because the one I usually go through is one where they did that medical study with the, you know, cell phone against your head, and they test your eardrum, your heart rate variability, you know, your vagus nerve and all that stuff. I don't know if I recall the one with the room. If there is, it's probably on the website. The problem is, everybody too, there's 90 to 100 of these study, and this is just the ones I've actually put on the website and republished to go through. That, I mean, I can't keep it all together and straight, but so, well, no, I can't, well, on that one.
The one I'm referencing, it was very scientifically controlled, and they were taking your blood pressure, your temperature. I mean, I don't even remember what they were. Some, two of them, I wasn't even sure what they were, but they were taking these readings, and they took them before they turned on the phone. And then when the phone got on, these things went berserk. But then they were given shungite. I don't know. I don't remember if it was stickers or whatever. I don't think it was even said. But when they gave them the shungite, all of those biometrics went back to normal. And in fact, went better than normal. So I don't know if it was two different studies. It probably was. But that's the one I was referencing. And I'm sorry, I just don't remember what all they were recording, metering. But it was very, very impressive, because it was 100 people, and 100 times they got the same results. That with it, with the shungite, the negativity of the cell phone. We're just talking cell phone. We're not talking that, because it was all completely Faraday cage. They said, I don't know that that's even possible, but that's what I was referencing. But yes, you've gone into a lot of that other report that you're referencing where they were actually taking it deeper. What part of the body is actually responding? What's causing the blood pressure change? What's causing the heat change? That type of thing. So let's see that if you went to, I think if you go to the Shungite, excuse me, Dash Products, you'll see Shungite Research and Science, something to that effect. And if you go there, you'll begin to see all the scientific documentation that we have. We're not talking woo-woo. We're talking science. And that's why I think that I call it enterology, the study of energy. And just because people don't know that term, people know biology, the study of biology, but they don't know that term, that is a science. And other people, I call it enterology because it's mixing metaphysics with quantum physics. But I'd been talking out there doing podcasts and saying this is what I think is happening, blah, blah, blah. And there's nobody testing me. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing from a very basic metaphysics, but also a scientific way. And I had somebody post on one of my videos that they were he said, I'm a quantum physicist. I don't want to identify myself, but I'm telling you that what you're talking about, and he gave me three different versions of or let's say areas of quantum physics that I was actually discussing, but I had no idea that it was called quantum physics such and such. So we have to teach the science. It's as simple as that. We're into a new science world. It's not the old world. So, part of our job, I think, and anybody that gets into Shungite is to realize A, it's a science, and B, you ought to be a teacher. Because if you've got something that can really help somebody else out and you don't give it to them, even if you think you're going to be put down or laughed at or whatever, if you give it to them, you've done your job. They can laugh at you all you want. Sooner or later, they're going to find out that you were right. You don't have to worry about this going away. I've been doing this for 10 years, and well, more than that now. And it hasn't gotten any, it's only grown in its accepted powers, let's put it that way. So, Derek, is there anything that you want to ask Callius?
Struggling with the mute button there, so I'm on my cell phone. No, I was just kind of listening, being fascinated with the different stories and aspects of where you were and what you guys came across. No, I was just, adding on, I guess we can coin a term, energy resistance, because that's what we get when we have shungite, and I would say keep it on our biofield or body is more important than anything else, even before your cell phone. Get it on your cell phone, of course, but the first thing would be your own person, and that can be a palm stone in your pocket. You don't have to wear bracelets or a pendant under your shirt, but that's definitely a thing, and that's what they were using in the studies was a pendant around the neck was one of them. Another one was piece of shungite. One was a sticker, one was insoles as well, and didn't matter which way. So then we don't need to worry about exactly how we're wearing it or where it's at on us, as long as it's on us, or in our terms, in our aura or biofield. And then we have an energetic resistance to the harmful frequencies that are out there. It keeps them moving so they don't stay around us as long. And then we don't focus on them because we can exacerbate any of those, I'll just say, harmful energies. And again, we're getting stuck here with lack of terms, but the negative stuff, the stresses, anxieties, depressions, those are energies. You can't see a piece of stress, anxiety, depression, right? It's metaphysical. Well, but those things can stay around us and I'll just say reverberate in our energy fields even more so if we focus on them. But with the help of Shungite and then knowing that, oh, we can imagine getting rid of it and spin that story however you want and it works. you'll have a great effect on it. But yeah, keep it on your body.
Yeah, Cal is when you were having that 5G cell tower thing happening, did you have any shungite on you? Or did you even know about it at the time?
Which one? The one at the intersection or the one
Yes,
at.
yes, yes.
No, I was unfamiliar with shungite at that time. For me, that
Oh.
was more of an observational realization. I was able to kind of zoom out and go, why are people behaving? It's kind of like when you screw up the electromagnetism on the ground for the ants. They all scatter and they get frantic. And I began to notice that just with the people around me. And yeah, that's how I basically got into this whole subject. That was kind of my inroad. And but I did notice at work, there was a noticeable difference that I was able to jot down and actually quantify. And I did have one question for you, Derek, regarding a part of your book where you mentioned some of the applicable uses of shungite. One of them was imprinting your own biofield when you do that. And I found that concept very, very fascinating. I know you follow that up shortly after with the sort of enhancing of shared consciousness, a sort of unified effect of, that it has with that. And I was interested as to whether or not you could maybe point towards something direct in regards to some type of quantum physics or some type of concepts with that as to how that works with shungite. Because for me, I noticed I'll just go ahead and let you answer. My apologies, I don't mean to drone
Oh
on.
no, not at all. Don't. Yeah, that's a great question. And I very rarely get to describe it because I don't get asked that. So I'll kind of spiel that a couple ways like I like to do. So one way it would be used, and you mentioned the word quantum entanglement. So it would help. Let's say there's you and a person you know in another location, of course. Well, one way, if you both had shungite, it would benefit. So it would not only help. And everybody, I have to be loose with my terms here. It not only help tone down or turn the level down of disruptive frequencies around you and that other person and help you focus more, but then you have the quantum entanglement aspect of the shungite. So now kind of think, let's go loose with our imagination. Think you've both got that cup up against a wall and that person's on another wall, where we're kids, maybe we put a cup up against a wall and you can hear through it or a door or something like that. It connects, and I'm not saying that's a cup, but so think that it strengthens that connection is one way it would work in, as far as that aspect of it. And then just making it clear. And then the more the person, again, realizes that, the stronger it is. So that's one way I would have described it. I'm not sure, did that make sense?
Yeah, certainly. I guess what first thing that comes to my mind would be something more of like a conductive adhesive, so to speak, at the quantum
Oh, that's
level.
pretty good. Yeah. There's not, even when I see it visually, and I can, like right now, when I talk about something or think about something or I get something else to, I literally get what I would now, because I didn't have the terms before, called augmented reality or VR in my space here. So it doesn't matter where I'm looking at. And in that space, I get to see stuff, but I've learned that stuff comes in the visual to help me have an understanding. Doesn't mean it's visually accurate all the time. So that's, I'm just being totally blunt here, kind of behind the scenes on the metaphysical stuff with people. Because I am assuming it works the same way for everybody. So yeah, so it's to get the understanding or intention through to the person, the reader, the psychic, and we're all that, every one of us. So but that's the thing. So I was trying to figure out where I was going with that one on. It's going that way for a reason. But it definitely helps you get a clearer picture and stay connected more. Again, it keeps like it's like having a fan on in your room, even if there's stuff in there that is smelly, at least the fan circulating will keep it less cohesive, so it's not the overpowering sensation.
Okay, great. No, that answers it. Much appreciated.
Yeah, so I always get frustrated with myself when I talk about this. Sorry, because there's not set ways to say these things, so we have to, I have to make up stories or analogies and describe it odd ways, because it's just not a concrete thing you can just write down and say, do it this way. And it's not like it's a breathing exercise in a special yoga pose and then bam, it happens. Yeah, so it's more, I always like using placebo effect. The more a person gets their emotions and imagination involved, and don't worry about anything else, because then the other stuff will happen once you start doing that. What people call abilities, and then it gets stronger.
Wow. Yeah, it seems like there's quite a few applicable magical workings that I can think of off the top of my head as to where this would be useful.
Oh, see, that's interesting because I'm the guy, and I don't know how much you know, but I have no training in anything, so anything but this type of background whatsoever. So I have none of that, so I'm kind of seeing it from a neutral perspective. It's like being thrown in the kitchen, a bunch of ingredients, and I don't know what any of them are. Flour and sugar looks the same to me, but they're sure different. So, weird analogy, but talking energies. So it's hard for me then to describe the stuff because I don't have some set way, and I think that's a good thing. But it also then gets it difficult to get your understandings across.
Absolutely. Yeah, you want to stay, at the baseline as best you can. You don't want to, as far as presenting a tool, I would suppose you don't want to, lean too heavily into it or be too withdrawn from it. So I think your approach is very, very good. It's a great, for me, it's a great baseline into this topic.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I like your input too. Now you're talking about things. So yeah, I think all of us together, and then maybe, we'll hopefully have podcasts and you guys' other podcasts so everybody can wrap their heads around it more and we'll get somewhere.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good awake versus aware episode if we interview Derek about some of the more deeper woo stuff, his experiences in the military, and when it comes to the energy work. I think if Derek's cool with that, someday it would be a fun show.
Oh yeah, I'd be open to that anytime.
Awesome. So I know our guests here will be going into a cruise. I don't know. We did do a cruise episode a couple years ago. I did re-highlight that in the Shungut Reality Facebook group. People want to try to find that, just type in cruise. I think it'll show up. And I attribute to, partially food poisoning, but also probably the EMFs in there. And of course, Kalis is going to be bringing Shungut on the cruise when he goes. But what were you guys, I mean, maybe what were you guys' comments on the cruise aspect as far as it being a type of Faraday cage and trapping bad EMFs? Yeah, because I thought that whole examination of that is important. Now that we're in the times of hot weather and people are indoors more, late summer here on the West Coast, but the cruise ship is an interesting contraption, especially initially in the COVID times. You'd hear all these news reports of, oh, they had to dock a ship and like leave it there for I don't know how long because people were getting COVID, and you're in a metal container, something's going to happen. So maybe just a refresher if you guys can comment on that.
And Nancy, was that a show you did?
Walt and you were there too, Derek, from 2 years
I was just
ago.
wondering if Nancy and she was muted. Because now I can get in. So I don't know if you had a specific question on that, but I mean, as far as if being on a cruise, so I'm getting it right. You're going on a cruise here coming up soon. Is what's going on?
Yeah, on Friday we're
Oh,
taking
okay.
in a yeah we're taking an Alaskan cruise and going to explore some glaciers.
Okay, yeah, so what, no matter what, and actually, yeah, I can't get into that just yet either. There's a whole nother topic. I'll be announcing soon. As far as the Faraday cage, yeah, I mean, if you're down in inside of the cruise ship, let's say, because it's metal concealed, but no, you're in one, but the horrible thing about that is everything inside that's being broadcast, and there is, and everybody's cell phones and devices, it's all bouncing around. So it's, and not that it's all staying within the hull of the ship anyway, but much of it is. It depends where you're at. So, I mean, no matter what, if you find yourself pulled over on the side of the road next to a transformer substation or something, or in a cruise ship or wherever, shungite on your body, no matter what. And I would, and there's, I've been asked this many times too, like, how much? And they said, I'm like, well, I mean, ultimately, size isn't really a thing, but there is something to that because I'll, and I don't have even a way of putting a chart, and not that you're asking, but. Sometimes, yeah, I want to wear a couple shungite braces and or a pendant or a certain one for whatever reason. I wish I had a way of just, differentiating why that is and how much and when. But no, so then I default and tell everybody however much you're comfortable with once you feel if it's a palm stone or bracelet or whatever. But yeah, you're gonna be, I mean, what I would do if I was on a cruise ship is, of course, have it with me, shungite rubber, because I'm assuming you're not you're well, no matter what, even if you were on the bottom level, then you got motors down there and generators and stuff. But up top, anywhere you're at, you're in a multi-story building essentially, and there's gonna be stuff all around you. So I'd sleep on a piece of shungite rubber, just one piece under you somewhere, along your back or neck or something, and then a bracelet or something, and just have it on you all the time. But as far as the COVID transferring, oh yeah, there's how do I word this? I've again all back, and I have no idea what to put on podcasts because I don't listen to any. I don't have time. But when I have a person in front of me who has been diagnosed with a certain sickness or disease, and I was about any of them, so it can be any of them, or I pick up on, let's say, cancer in somebody. Sometimes they know, sometimes they don't. I can see it in their energy field first. It's a visual thing. I can literally see it, and then it goes from there. So it's kind of like seeing red stuff on, I always go to cooking analogies, red stuff on your meal. Well, it could be ketchup, could be hot sauce. We don't know. Well, so I pick up on that, and then I can see that thing, that field, and it's like a fog to me that changes colors initially. So it's just something around them that draws my attention. And then from there, if I look at it and go, oh, what's that? And then I get more. So that's kind of, again, like I say, behind the scenes info on how the heck this stuff works. And so then when I see in this description of a cruise ship and a bunch of people have it, so when they're sick, the energy of that sickness is goes a little further off of them for whatever reason. I have no idea why, can't explain it. So when there's that many people together, I don't have a good description for this, just think those little invisible bubbles around the person, they're almost all touching now because there's no space between these rooms of any consequence on cruise ships. You got a couple inch walls there is all. So that I could definitely see in that. And then whatever, assuming there's Wi-Fi going on in there, and I can't imagine there would not be everywhere on there. And I have not been a cruise ship so since the 90s, so long before that. But yeah, that would absolutely exacerbate the situation. Even I don't talk about airflow, I'm talking about the frequency, because I've seen people get sick. I've seen people choose to exit. I'll just be blunt, exit this life by choice, because I'll just be now vague, because a significant other went before them and they went, nope, you weren't supposed to, and that scenario that we've heard or seen on TV. So I've seen his family members go through that by choice, and then the energy field change on it. So then the one I got from that was the reverse. Well, if it can energy field pick up bad frequencies and go worse than that person and snowballs, well, then it could do the opposite too. And then that's kind of the realm where I work as well, and others just describe it differently. I know it's all over the place, but I was trying to describe how the energy aspect of disease is not just the COVID one would affect a ship. It can be different ones as well, even just hate and discontent. I mean, that's a strong one too. That definitely can spread. I've seen it, worked offshore. I was on how many boats? You get one really upset person. Oh yeah, that'll just all of a sudden you get up and you're like, what the heck? So these are my deep sea diver days, be it on an oil rig or a ship or whatever the heck. Oh yeah, that is, and I forget the name for it, but there's a name for that offshore. And if you get a person like that, you put them back on a ship and you get them straight to shore, because it'll infect the whole crew. I know, totally different scenario, but it's the
I've seen
same
that
deal.
happen. I've seen that
You
happen.
get
Boots on
it.
the ground as well. Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely.
you get it. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah,
Well,
so that's.
now just as a support there, now there's people out there, medical people, that are realizing that measles and the other childhood diseases, they'd have, measles, wasn't it measles party? Maybe it was smallpox. I'm not sure what the hell it was. But they'd get all the kids together so they'd all catch it at once.
Chicken pox.
Chicken pox, thank you very much. Yes, chicken pox. They'd bring them together and they'd all get it. And the concept that they're looking at now wasn't that it was contagious as a virus that they want to say. It's like the one person who had the energetic frequency of the measles, that was sort of accepted or picked up by the energy fields of the other kids.
I got that's absolutely accurate, Nancy. I read something on that and I kind of jumped in because I'll tell you, no matter what anybody says out there, remember, I'm a neutral guy. I'm saying that for a reason again, with no training and none of this stuff. Now I do sessions, and if somebody walks in and they happen to have again, I'll just make up the story here. A bum left elbow. And internally, I don't see any brace on it, blah, blah, blah. My left elbow, I'll start feeling it. Or an internal thing here. Blah. That's half of my sensations when I do readings, either remotely or in person, is all of a sudden, again, I don't want to describe, I'm sure there's a fancy word for it in there, but I will feel that sensation or draw my attention to me. And then the person across from me gets all excited. Remember, I make fun of this, excited because I psychically knew they had this. I'm like, well, no. And I tell me in a session, I'm like, no, my knees started hurting me. I was like, obviously, I'm finally so that told me that your knees hurting. And then, so then I extrapolate that back out because I'm just a hyper analytical person like that. I'm like, well, then that A means B and C and D. And I keep going out. And then I realize that, oh, it's the intention or thoughts. And then if I realize that I can feel it that way, then I can imagine, because it's all my, and people think imagination is fake. It's not. Your imagination is real. I think, yeah, of course, everybody here knows that. Well, then imagine that your knee's better. And then literally the energies around that person's knee start healing. There's lots of ways, again, to spin that story, but it all works. That's exactly what it is. We just need to get vested in the, I should make up a different word than story, because that makes it sound not real, but it is. It's just metaphysical.
Well, I think you got to be careful, because you're an energy healer. You are blessed with understanding what's happening. And the number of energy healers who burn out and get sick and die themselves is, you know, I don't know, they're high statistics. And it's because of that they're feeling this stuff, but they're not really understanding that it once you feel the energies, once you get into the energies, then your body starts to react to the energies. It's like all of a sudden there's a different blueprint on you, and all you have to do is erase the blueprint. And that's why, you know, I've seen too many healers burn out because they didn't realize that.
That's one of the reasons why I really like people like Neville Goddard, for example, and, you know, the sort of touching on what Derek just talked about, you know, imagination being real and being able to alter physical limitations through it. I think that's been demonstrated. And the approach that Neville Goddard constantly spoke about was, you know, abundance. You know, when, as far as energy goes, once you realize that you have all of it, I mean, it's never going to run dry. That part of your thinking allows you to keep it. And so, I mean, you can bleed energy, give it to everybody you want, and you're going to be just fine simply because you understand that you are an unlimited well. And so I found that those that get involved with this type of energy healing work can be, over time, understandably so, predisposed, you know, to negativity. Maybe they're not guarding their thoughts as closely as they should be. You know, the thoughts become habits, and on we go. And so it spirals down. I think for some of these people, they're just not careful. They lose discipline. And to touch on what you mentioned, Nancy, regarding, you know, biofields and, you know, the chicken pox parties. I think it was the Russians in the early 50s discovered that sort of phenomenon. They were able to demonstrate that families that shared, you know, very close communal spaces typically got sick around the same times. And they were able to pinpoint, oh yeah, this is a bioharmony effect. You know, they're all sharing, you know, this similar field. And so it's affecting them, you know, almost in the exact same ways at the same time. And I think the Russians were also the first to discover that these things could be hacked. So I think they might have been the first to weaponize it. But absolutely fascinating stuff. But I always try to stick with abundance, and I always try to stick with the principles of the energy fields that we are tapped into. The energy that flows through us is abundant. It's practically unlimited. It's only limited by the individual.
Well said. Derek, do you, I don't know how your time frame is.
No, I'm good. Now we're close to the end, so I'm good for whatever.
Say what?
No, I'm good time wise. I don't have to worry about anything.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Is there something else you wanted to get into, Mark? Or Callius, do you have something else you'd like to ask Derek?
Not at the moment. He pretty much answered my two big questions very, very well. So I'm quite satisfied. I'm just here to learn and listen pretty much. I don't want to talk too much. You guys are the experts.
I think we're all learners and teachers. I do have a comment though, Nancy, if you don't mind. So,
Sure, go.
an add-on to everything we're talking about. So when we're talking energies and being unlimited, and I'm 100% agreement with everything I've heard and we're talking about here as far as that being a thing. And then being, as I jokingly do sometimes, a cheater getting to visually see stuff, then I learned that also that because I was going through some training, became a Reiki master, and I don't do Reiki, everyone, not dissing it. Again, I talk analogies and cooking a lot, so those are just recipes. Just not for me. But there's energies out there. So again, visually seeing it. So, and I'm backing off of that for a reason. So then what I learned was that as we were being trained, they were, so I'd have a pile of Reiki masters around me, and we'd take turns in this. It was like a massage table kind of thing you lay on so everybody could feel energies and stuff. And I saw them, and I wasn't outed at this time as far as being able to see stuff because I was like, oh no, they're gonna put me away and try and give me drugs and this, that, and the other. I was still pretty early on when I was going through this, but I knew energy was a thing because I could see it, I could do all kinds of things I still didn't admit to. But what I saw was, for example, let's say I had a broken arm or something or an injury inside. Everybody, all these energy workers were being taught to have that bone mending. So see the blood going there, the bone mending, and that, and this, that, and the other. And what I realized was their energy wasn't affecting my physical body at all. It was affecting my energy body. So then I realized, oh, with a little twist in just my thoughts, I could get it to actually work a little bit better because then I realized that. Oh, I shouldn't realize because I'm programming the energy body, so I shouldn't program it for perpetual healing, not bone mending, blood going there and this, that, and the other getting better. I should use my imagination and emotions, or however level someone uses that, to see it already healed, already done, see the end state. And then, and that was a thing as far as energy wise. And then I extrapolated that out, realizing, well, wait a minute, these people all thought they were, and I'll make fun of stuff again. Flinging their energies at me, and I could see their hands. I could see what people I learned they called chakras, and I realized there were more than what I heard was like seven chakras. There's certain people I would see fingertips light up, and what and it was the exact same thing they would describe shot and then chakras too. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, there's more chakras or energy centers than at least I heard. So and again, no training, so I didn't know. And I look and I'm like, oh, and it's not that they're flinging their energy because there's energy everywhere. And here's where I bring it to my diving days. So if I'm down in my underwater welding on some oil rig doing a thing and there's a diver over there, we're both underwater. We're all that dense stuff around us. He doesn't need any water or energy over there. It's all around him. You need to affect what's already there. So if the energy worker has that realization or epiphany, realizing, oh, I can use my intention and tune the energy or frequencies that are around that individual already. And that's really base recipe right there, everybody. And always go positive, good stuff, you know. But then that's another thing. Rather than then you're not so drained because you're not like going through the whole thought process that we typically do from these human vehicles of, well, I'm generate this energy. I got to do this, you know, special breathing exercise and yoga pose and then send my energy over there. Well, I see people doing that and they do physically get drained and they can only do, and I don't know how many psychic energy worker friends, they'll tell me across the board, I can only do so many sessions or I'm so tired after this, that, and the other until I just kind of say that. And I'm like, well, here, if you just visualize it this way, that you're just affecting that. And then they'll go, oh, it's not, then they stop that. They change that story or recipe and it affects them differently. So I just kind of wanted to point
Perfect.
that out.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Good. I'm glad that made sense because again, I kind of switched it up. My head goes 100 miles an hour, and I'm trying to, how do you get this so it's understandable? But yeah, it's a thing. And the more we have that realization, the more we can affect others and ourselves in a good way. I don't know if Mark, Nancy, did you have another topic direction you wanted to go to, or Mark?
I guess as far as taking Shanghai to the next level beyond the foundational stuff of smart meter, Wi-Fi, for sleep. For me, the next best thing is like the sleep mask, which is basically Shungite silver and rubber as far as the material. I have two of them, just as having a backup, and pretty much almost 100% the nightmares are gone. So you put that on your over your eyes at night, and you secure the strap, and then like it's great. You have that energy pulsing, and I recommend it for everybody. I mean, who can say that they don't have nightmares anymore because of that sleep mask? And the Shungite rubber pad is I have like one for the bed in the car, and I always use it when I sit down too long in front of the screen computer if I need to do work or whatever. And I drive a lot, so I have it in my car. So that's the next good for stomach aches, back aches, things like that. Always good to have around. And when I'm recommending Shungite to people, I always mention you have to have the silver because Shungite itself isn't good enough anymore. The silver gives that super boost, that stem cell activation. And there's a guy I listen to pretty regularly, Morley Robbins. He's big on copper, and next to the sun fueling the mitochondria is copper because copper is depleted from everything. And even if you do take copper, pretty much everything else depletes it. So you have to keep on a high dose, which is what I've been doing. Next to what I think I just said, powers the mitochondria is, other than the sun, is copper. For energy, but where's it going with that? Yeah, so next leveling up Shungite for the next practical uses is the rubber pad and then the sleep mask. And when recommending it to people, I always say you got to have the silver on there. And Nancy tells that story in past podcasts where Shungite itself didn't help her because she had, or it did somewhat, has electro hypersensitivity. And then when the silver was added, then the total relief came. And that was from like, what, more than 10 years ago. And yeah, so we're all about practical applications here.
Just
Some
an
questions.
aside on the mask, and what he's talking about is an eye mask like people put on when they go to sleep. Well, the dog gets upset because there's thunder out there. And it just so happened the mask was next to me. So I put it around his throat, just, and oh my God, the guy just went, oh, thank you very much, and went and laid down and didn't seem to be stressed at all. And right now he's got, well, he's got the, he's got, I had to take the mat, I decided at that point to make sure it was on his collar, so I took a piece of the Shungite rubber and attached it directly to his collar. And we've got thunder out there, and yes, he's concerned, but he's not stressing. He's right under my feet. So again, a lot of what we say is because we've seen it happen, but we know now what's happening. So anybody that wants to talk about Shungite and try to get other people involved in it, they may put you down, but hey, listen, get over it, because someday they're going to know that you helped them out. Anything else on that subject? Because Derek, I would like you to kind of update people on the health home inspections. Last week we did an in-depth look at the report that you give, and I highly recommend that everybody listen to that from last week, the one just before this, because it gives you so much information that about what the invisible, health hazards are that are around you. And if you can possibly get involved with understanding that these health issues can be changed just by little things like moving your bed to a different part of the house. Don't let the kids sit here. The mold and water, the parasites in the water were like freaky, Derek, I have to say, kind of scary. So, can you just give us anything else you might want to on that?
Yeah, what she's talking about, for those that don't know, it's my new website, which is homehealthinspections.com. But on there, I get into all that stuff Nancy's talking about, as far as I don't just tell you, well, and scare you, telling you all this stuff can be in your water, your air, and hidden here. So basically all the invisible dangers around the house, I get you into the remedies and the fixes and the easy things you can do to take care of that, and then explain why it is important. Because just real quick example on one of them, like formaldehyde, like, what the heck is formaldehyde? I don't have anything that would cause that. Well, yeah, you do. It's called furniture. And furniture off gases. And then we can also tie in what's called VOCs. And I'm not going to get into all of these and explain them all, but VOCs, just because I brought it up, volatile organic compounds. So again, just part, I'll even simplify it more for me. Particles and pieces come off new things, and that's what we are actually smelling. So, and that's of course what smell is. And as far as the new things I'm talking about is our electronics. Because even when we plug those in, if we think, well, there's no fabric or plastic material in my electronics or anything in that, well, yeah, the metal's in there. So when you first turn on your microwave for the first time, or your ovens or anything else, even your new pots and pans, open up your windows, everybody. Ventilate that stuff. It's all going to have stuff coming off of it that you'll smell, and none of it's good. And you definitely don't want to breathe it. And even electronics, because when the electronics get used for the first time, there's stuff that off gases from that. And I have a detector that I can literally put next to a laptop, turn it on. A gas detector, I said, not EMF, because EMF will go off the charts as well. A gas detector. And that will read different gases coming off of there, and more so when they're new. So I'm just telling you, there's a lot of hidden dangers. And again, that's not to panic, but on the inverse, there are so many easy, basic fixes to so many of the things that I can find in there, from mold to carbon dioxide or monox, carbon monoxide buildup, to VOCs, by telling you, open your windows, ventilate more, especially when you're cooking. And as Nancy, or I think it was Nancy, one of you guys referenced something about moving your beds. And yeah, I can come in there and test and tell you where to move your bed away from whatever wall. But in the on the website, I explain not just why it's important, but how you can do it yourself. So you don't. It's because, example, most people listening to this don't live anywhere, probably none of them, live within the three counties of Washington State I'm doing this in. I hope you do, but let's keep it real. The odds are not. Well, that's not a thing. Doesn't panic. You don't have to. You can buy these equipment. You can go through any one of these. So I'd start with one, say radon, read the information online. I have a little AI person on there chatting about it for you if you don't want to read everything, because I know that can get obnoxious. But it'll educate you to a degree, and they'll say, hey,
Wait, you
go
got
ahead.
this on the website right now.
It's
You can
all
go.
up there right now. Yep.
Okay, and the website is homehealthinspections, plural, dot com.
Yep. And I've got a list of, I don't even know how many now, but a dozen or two of different types of inspections, from water to combustible gases to EMF. And each one of those, click on it, everybody, and then you'll see. Again, that little video you can now click on, and that person, it's not going to read you the text right in front of you. It's going to give you another explanation with remedies and fixes. And then any of these things, you can go online and buy these at different places. It's the devices I'm talking about, and do your own measurements. So let's say you got a baby coming into the family, or your sister's having a baby and they're not aware of this, then you buy the, depending if they're on natural gas, buy that detector for like $20, $30, $40. We're not talking hundreds. And then an EMF one for like $25, and then do these things yourself. And it's something we can easily do. So I like to point a lot of that out on the website, and then also educate people on why these and how they build up, like radon. It comes from all over the place. I mean, do you have granite under your house? Everybody does. It comes up. And again, I won't get into that whole spiel, but there's other things like outlet testing we do, and mold.
Well, the thing of it is I don't care how much background you have in this, talking about any of this or thinking about it. I've probably been at it for 40, 50 years. I never really appreciated the crap that's coming off of a microwave that's not even working. I mean, it's not cooking anything. It's sitting there. And yet, he said something about it. He had metered it, and I went and I unplugged my microwave. And because I'm energy sensitive, I was like, oh shit. Because I've been subjecting me and the animals to this thing that I could have just disconnected. So it's very important that you take another look at it, even if you think you know everything about the subject. I guarantee you don't, because there's other things I could mention, and we talk about that in the last show. So yeah, I'm grateful, very grateful to you, Derek. I wish I had the equipment that you had when I started doing what you're doing in the 80s, 82.
Really, we're going to have to do a podcast on each one of those tests. And I'm not kidding. I think Mark picked up on it too earlier, made a comment, but how we didn't get to everything, far from it. And you know me, I truncate everything and just give you bite-sized pieces for that reason. So if we want, after I'm done with these next courses I'm doing, we come back in. And I think we should, it'd be well worth it to do probably an entire podcast on, and we can pepper it and stagger it on each one of these things so people have a real understanding. And then I'll get into more so about how you can check it yourself and how you can fix it and how important it is. Because most people I'm hearing, Nancy, are saying, oh no, don't, I don't want you to check my house. And this is almost like 90 plus percent. I'm scared of what you'll find. And I'm like, oh, I slap my head and I don't do it in front of them, of course. So I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, I don't tell them that either. But in my head, I'm thinking, I understand. But then that's why I have to go through the spiels of how, why it is important. Do you have kids? Do you have animals? A lot of these things are down low to the ground where the little rugrats are playing and the animals are sleeping. That's a thing too. And then how easy a fix a lot of this stuff is, even if you do find stuff. And especially in your water, you're what? Depending on how dehydrated you are, darn near 80% water, your physical body. And then your energy body, by the way, is existing in a water atmosphere. But just saying that the water you internalize, that you turn into you, because that's what you're doing, everyone. You might want to make sure it doesn't have, well, like I heard also from somebody kind of close, well, I'm on well water. It's minerals. That's where I get my minerals. I'm like, and I took the sample, put it under the microscope. Oh yeah, he got two thumbs up. He's getting his minerals, not the minerals he wants or the numbers he wants. It's like sticking your hand in a pantry, just grabbing, saying, and I got the good stuff. No, there's a little more thought that has to go through that. Get your minerals, hopefully from your foods you eat. More likely not, though, believe it or not. I want to get into that. That's a podcast too. But a really good supplement if you need to. But yeah, don't just think you're getting your minerals from your water, because they're not going to be, the amounts, the percentages, or even bioavailable minerals, like in this case, in calcium. And I saw the pieces of calcium. I mean, I darn near didn't even need the microscope. I'm like, you're not in, yeah. So that's a thing too. And you can get these samples done. A lot of the water tests you can do, and we'll get into that maybe on a podcast, but with test strips, you don't need a microscope. So I didn't want to scare everybody. But I do, and I brought it up because Nancy mentioned the, it's called microscopic water testing. I'll take the water back to my lab, my office, and put up the microscope on high def and then look under it, and you can literally see under various magnifications, parasites, eggs, larvae, different things. So we do test for that as well. And it's important because you don't want to be drinking that stuff. Primarily, that would be in well water. And I don't know, Nancy, if you want to get into any specifics. I'm not sure how much time we got here, but
No, but I
yeah.
do, well, because we covered quite a bit of it last time, and it's all on your website.
It is.
If you're kind of intrigued, and I probably would start out talking to people and saying, "What if you had a problem and you didn't know you had a problem? I can give you a fix so you have the problem no more." Let them know right from the beginning that there are fixes for everything that you're going to find. Because
And go ahead.
I'm one of those people that would have said, no, I don't want you testing my house.
And they're cheap, easy fixes too. That's just it. And I'll tell you, an
Right.
add-on is every health condition I've heard of ever can be attributed to one of these hidden dangers. And I'm just going to group them, hidden dangers in your house, be it the radon, the carbon monoxide, dioxide, blah, blah, blah. Every one of them, and I've been researching this for a long time, literally, and I'm not saying that that's what everybody says attributed to. I'm just saying, it's literally science, everybody. These symptoms, diseases, things we call that, are triggered by these things, and they're found, and you can fix it easily. I mean, I can spiel it out 20 ways, but that's the long and short of it. And we can all do it. So yeah, we'll do more, and I'll do some videos showing these trinkets, these devices, these meters and gauges that are not complicated. You don't even have to understand everybody. I'm just talking generally now to what the V, small m, a dash, this, that, two, and the other, as far as the, and I'm making, you know, don't worry about that kind of stuff when you're doing these readings, because there's something called the internet that will simplify it all for you, and or an AI. So the days of being intimidated by this stuff and not knowing should be gone. So hopefully we'll get everybody there.
It reminds me of the fish tank thing. If your fish gets sick, do you go get some kind of a antibiotic to give the fish? Or do you go, what's wrong with the environment?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
And we're not trained to do that.
Nope.
And that's a simple thing. I mean, fish tank, if they're having problems, it's not them. It's where they're at. Maybe something's off in your tank. Go check it.
Use an invisible thing. That's why I'm doing the invisible stuff.
Yep. Yep,
exactly. Because a lot of that stuff is not physical. It's metaphysical. It's just not described that way, but it is.
It's enterology. It's enterology.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if anybody has any questions, any of that stuff. But
anybody got anything else?
No, I think that's it. Anything else? You know, you've been gone, like, Derek, like 3-4 weeks. And what can we add that we missed? Anything else we can add from last week that is critical that needs to be covered? I mean, is there anything else?
As far as the home health stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, moisture. Everybody should, because winter's coming up. At least here north of the equator, you know, it's coming up fall and winter now, so moisture. So I have lots of trinkets, moisture testers, FLIR devices. Again, not that you need those, but those kind of things, find those moisture spots on your floors and walls, and openings on your doors, and that's where the mold comes in. So one of the biggest issues is mold and fungus, no matter where you live, especially in the wintertime, you know, more in moist environments, Nancy, where you're at and where I'm at up here, of course. But no, that's a big time thing. And one add-on too, the second leading cause of lung cancer on the planet is these gases I'm talking about, everybody, the formaldehydes, the VOCs that come off our, these are my, when I grew up, you know, open your kitchen sink, the two doors under it, you're going to see 15, 20, 30 little spray bottles, you know, cleaners, this, that, and the other. None of it good. And I've actually put that stuff that all had sealed caps on it in a trash bag, and the trash bag almost exploded within days of just toxic gas. That was a thing. And I don't even know why I even got the idea to do that. Oh, I was wrapping it up thinking, well, I don't want to breathe this stuff. I can smell it, blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you, a trash bag did not hold all that in anyway, because it permeated through. This was a long time ago, so I was still figuring stuff out. But when I looked down there and it looked like a balloon, I'm like, what the heck is even going on? And I'll tell you, don't open that bag if you do something like that in your house either, because it was all bad stuff. So, you know, the gist of the story is, don't have that stuff under there. If you have it, use your garage, your back patio, something else out that, other than inside a house during the wintertime. So those couple things I wanted to mention was the moisture and then anything with chemicals. And by the way, that's also nail polish and nail polish remover and shampoos. I'm not just not talking cleaners, everyone. There's stuff in all of that. So just be aware. But yeah, so anyway, just want to mention that part of it. Because I can go on and on. You definitely don't want me to do that. There's almost no end to it.
Invisible smells that can kill you.
Yeah, but there's fixes for all this. Even the stuff in the I use Shungite soap, and Jalissa's got a new, and Mark, watch the mail. There's a new version type brand that we're working on. So happening here. So, and you can use that in replace of soap, shampoo, can, you know, other things as well, as what I'm saying. At one time, I even had Shungite toothpaste and deodorant. I used to make all that. I just don't have time for any of that. Everybody else, do it yourselves. You know, look up the recipes. But there's fixes for all this. You know, you don't have to go get a stick of bamboo and rub it on your arms and just, I have to live that way. No, there's other options. You know, I'm making fun of the whole you can't use deodorant thing, of course. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you were out of stock for the soap for a while, and I mean, a lot of people sell Shungite soap. You know, you go online, type in Shungite soap, a bunch of people have them, but a lot of, pretty much everyone's missing the silver in the soap. So that's why I order from you, and we'll be ordering extras. So good to hear you guys are doing another thing, but the classic ones, you know, never gets old, recommended to people, and that's my go-to.
Yeah, and hopefully we get back to the space where we can, put that stuff out in bulk. It's just hard. But yeah, it's good stuff. And everybody make your own stuff. We release recipes, we tell you what's in it, shungite and silver, and we'll sell you the shungite silver blend and make your own if you want. So yeah, get creative.
Anything else?
I guess we could promote the shows we did Sunday. Cosmic Soup was fun. Was good radio, and then we talked about the plasma physics on Awake versus Aware in terms of the disclosure is us. We are the disclosure because the science papers that prove all of these black ops physics is out there, and Ashton Forbes, who has podcast out called Hard Truths, also on YouTube, talks to people about these things, that the whole thing of zero point energy and atoms are all connected to each other. I read the physics paper on it, that was just released like a couple weeks ago, and yeah, it's out there, and a lot of playroom here, so check those shows out.
Okay, then. So we'll wrap this up. Derek, have a wonderful time at school. I'm sure you'll be bored, but.
I'll keep myself busy. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll see everybody when I get back in a little over a month.
All righty. And thank you so much for being here, Callius. It added a lot to the program. Appreciate you.
Oh, likewise, and thanks for having me. It was a really wonderful time, and it was a pleasure to get to talk to you, Derek. Hopefully, we can do it again.
Yeah, it's fantastic meeting you. Absolutely. Yeah, we have put some podcasts together, like Mark was mentioning.
Yeah. And keep notes on what you're finding out about Shungite there. And Callius is on, like we say, these two other shows, Cosmic Soup and Awake and Aware. And you can find those in the archives on podcasts and in Rumble. So thank you both. Thank you all for being here. And you want to say bye, Derek?
Yep, absolutely. Have a great day, everybody. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Callius?
Yeah, thanks everyone. It was a pleasure.
Mark.
Yeah, we'll see everybody next week, Tuesday. But hopefully we're gonna have an interview guest we had last time, Floris maybe. We're wanting to have Kalis on a couple or a few of on the podcast shows of Shungite next few weeks, and hopefully bring another guest. Thanks everybody.
All righty. Be safe. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.